tweet at TodaySOR.
Now, on the line is Professor Jim Lucy, consultant psychiatrist at St. Patrick's University Hospital and clinical professor of psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin. Good to talk to you, Jim, even if it's not across the studio desk, as would normally be the case, that we all have to take these precautions and change the way we do things. But look, you're going to tell us about the 3 hours of anxiety management. Pray tell, what are they?
Well, I think it's great to talk to you, and I'm sorry that I'm doing it as we have to do from the these remote measures, but we're all doing what we have to do, and I think it's great that you're emphasizing the importance of staying at home. And I suppose what we're talking about, the 3 R's of anxiety management, we're talking about skilling up, learning how to cope with our and overcome our difficulties in staying at home. And, you know, there's no doubt that this is a stressful time. And our anxiety is a normal response, but it takes courage at this moment to be mindful of others and mindful of ourselves. And that courage can be compassionate as well. If we learn the skills of being well, being able to recover, the 3 skills I talk about are the skill of reframing, the skill of recovery, and the skills of resilience. There's a lot in this, though, Sean. But I really think we can be better than just blustering about, those voices that minimize the issue here. And we can actually learn as a people, how to overcome this.
Now, that word reframing, it sounds maybe a little bit jargony to some people. So what do you mean by it in plain English, Jim?
Well, in plain English, I mean that as we deal with issues that come to us, we can choose to see them in their full, if you like, almost catastrophic reality, and yet put a positive and powerful slant on them, or we can allow ourselves become incoordinate and panic. Now, there's no question that the Taoiseach was right, that anxiety is contagious, but panic is incoherent and unhelpful. So let's talk about 5 ways we could reframe. And the reframing, what I mean by that is looking at it in a different way that allows us contain our anxiety and show leadership to others. And the 5 ways, they come from a famous, this is all research-based, a famous data set that looks at the 5 ways of well-being under stress. And here are the 5. Many of your listeners would be familiar with these. They're about connecting, about continuing to learn, about continuing to stay active, about noticing things, and about giving, okay? So in any situation, it's not about heading in your car to the West. It's about being where you are mindfully and trying to do these 5 things. So let's think about it. How could we connect with each other? Well, we've never had a time where social media was more helpful. It's been unbelievable that we can actually contact each other through Teams and Skypes and FaceTimes and so on, just as we're talking now. We'd normally be across the desk, wouldn't we, Sean? But we can connect with each other. We can keep learning. The learning we can do now is about both the learning about how to be close to each other and also how to leave each other times for space, for peace, for quiet. You know, each of us could learn to give a time for quiet in your day. We could stay active within our spot. I know it's extremely difficult, but we don't need a stretch of the beach necessarily. We could be active within our homes, try and learn how to exercise in a smaller space. We could notice, even out of our windows, how wonderful, how beautiful our country is and how wonderful our people are in trying to carry on this difficult time. And we could give each other the credit for that and give each other time and a moment of time to be brave at this difficult time. And that giving is more than mindful. It really does help us recover. And there are ways we can reframe each of these issues. So each of the 10, try and see them in the ways of those 5 ways of being well.
Yeah, and I suppose the whole thing of staying active is important as well, even in confined spaces.
Even in confined spaces. I mean, there's no doubt about it that movement and the management of our minds are very, very linked. Think about it when we become distressed, how agitated we become. But think about it how, in fact, how calming it can be to take steady exercise. People often ask me, how much exercise should I get? How much can I get? Well, the answer is a little bit more than you did yesterday. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, an interesting way of putting it. Now, I suppose, Jim, one thing that'll make people maybe a bit anxious is we're increasingly in the last 24 hours getting the sense that there's more than a fortnight in this, maybe a lot more than a fortnight, because that was the initial ask by the Taoiseach last Friday week. Take it up to Easter Sunday. But now it seems that's going to roll on perhaps for another several weeks, two weeks maybe at least. And that's, sorry, that's me just guessing. But the broad hints are there. So, I mean, is there a way of doing this thing one day at a time?
I think there has to be. I think we have to think about what recovery would look like. A mindful approach to this, which is the courageous approach, is about being in the moment, taking it one day at a time, following our leaders, and recognizing that we take correct leadership. You know, we don't want to have, I'm afraid our neighbours in the UK are giving each other bland reassurances as though stiff upper lip was actually senseless. It really is tremendous the way we're being led now. And I think we're being given good advice from Tony Holohan. I really want people to try and take that advice.
Yes. And Jim, you talked about reframing and the five things you mentioned there. What about recovery then?
Well, recovery is another thing that we understand, again, through our own recent lifetimes. I mean, 2008, we had the great crash. But other times, we've had as societies to pull together. And there's a great piece of research which has been reduced to a lovely five-point acronym as well. It's called CHIME. These are the features that make recovery possible. And they're remarkably similar to the wellness things. So when people are going to recover, they maintain their connectedness. They maintain their hope. They maintain their sense of identity, who they are, who we are as a people and individuals. They maintain their meaning in their day, okay? And they empower each other to fulfill all those things. So to put it another way, recovery for us as a nation will be a process enabled by connecting people with hope, by respecting their identity, giving them meaning, and empowering them to work together for these goals. So we know that anywhere you look at, whether it's economics recovery or recovery in the cancer ward, unless you connect people with hope, respect their identity, and give them meaning and empowerment to fulfill that goal, you don't get any other success. The lady said there's something more about the future than money. And in fact, there's something more about our recovery than our economic recovery. We're going to discover that recovery is about a well economy. And a well economy is the economy that can remain well for all of us.
Yeah, and the whole question of resilience then is the last one you mentioned, Jim.
I think that when we look forward to this, because we are at a time where there are economic stresses, but there are enormous environmental stresses. We've had these zoonoses transferring infections from mammalian species into us. We've got other economic threats, other environmental threats. We're going to need to be resilient for the next difficulty, for the enduring difficulty that this particular COVID-19 will give us. And so what are the features of resilience that matter? What makes people able to be resilient? And let's think about those. And again, there's a short list of those. But we know from research that education helps us to be resilient. A security of base, knowing where we are and being able to be in that place. Our social competency. We're gifted in Ireland by our social connectedness, and that competency is a great strength. Our friendships, our talents and interests, and our positive values. So as our leadership hopefully guides, and each of us each day can be a leader by doing the right thing, we need to think about building up those kinds of strengths, our education, and maintaining that as far as possible. I know you've been emphasizing that in the program over the last couple of days, Sean. It's worthwhile thinking about that just single strength. As an example, each of these could be unpacked. But some years ago, our leaders decided to emancipate our education, to extend it free as of right to the secondary education and on to the third level. Could you imagine having a nation or a people as resilient as we are if we hadn't invested in education when we did?
Just on that one, Jim, because you're talking about education, literally in this last couple of seconds, a question has popped in for you. Has Jim Lucy any advice for Leaving Cert students?
Yeah, I think the thing to do is to do your best to prepare for the Leaving Cert as though it was going ahead. To actually give yourself the opportunity to use the online, the Wi-Fi measures that you can actually access the data. Do your best to say to yourself, whatever I have to do now, it'll be what I do now for me based on the efforts I made in over the last 2 years, it's not about these 4 weeks. And it will then come good. When the opportunity comes, you can flourish. It's about resourcing yourself with the belief. Again, the courage to be mindfulness. And the thing is, that's a compassionate approach. Don't worry that you're anxious. The anxiety you have is perfectly understandable. We all feel it.
And I suppose, Jim, as well, we're getting some amazing examples of resilience and heroism. I was driving into work this morning, listening to Morning Ireland, as I do, and Tommy Meskell, my colleague, did a series of interviews with people just about the whole area of autism and how they're managing. And he spoke to a woman called Kira, who's got a 10-year-old son, Gavin. And for people with autism, obviously keeping busy is crucial. Routine is everything. Yeah. And she talked about how, you know, he's terribly frustrated. He can't go out. And, you know, water therapy is part of what he needs. And he's now, instead of having two or three baths a day, he's having six. He's going through huge amounts of gel, shower gel, different colours, and he's spending up to 2 hours in an electric shower every day. And the family's income has dried up because the dad is a taxi driver. I mean, there's heroism, there's resilience. I mean, the rest of us have, or most of the rest of us have no problems by comparison.
Compared to this, I mean, I want to speak out for those who are suffering with mental distress at this time. I mean, we have every day huge challenges for people ongoing with mental distress. And I know there are many other huge physical and health issues. Forgive me, I'm a psychiatrist, and I want to speak to the heroism of people and the people who are caring for those with mental distress in facilities across the country, in our own in St. Patrick's. It's amazing what the staff are doing in turning up every day and reframing people's anxiety, encouraging the skills of resilience and building a hope in their recovery takes a moment-to-moment patience, which is extraordinary. And parents are doing it. Those who have enduring mental health difficulty in their families, they know this already. They know that they've been doing this for many years. It's all the more difficult now. But they really are heroes in our society.
Jim, thank you very much as ever. Great to have your insights. That's a consultant psychiatrist at St. Patrick's Hospital and Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin, Jim Lucy. We'll take a quick break.